testing, 1, 2, 3. How many of you want to meet the Lord today? Amen. A blessed Chinese New Year, but we trust that if any of you here wants to meet the Lord, I want to invite you to close your eyes right now. You know, whenever we come to His house, we gather in His name, we say, Lord, we want to meet You. So if today you really want to hear from God, today perhaps you say, I want to get a fresh touch from the Lord, you need to say this prayer in your heart. You say, God, I want to see You today. I want to hear Your voice today. Our God is a God who answers prayer. So for the next 10, 20 seconds, just in your own words, if you can close your eyes, bow your head, you can just say, utter this simple prayer. Say, God, I want to meet You today. Besides the facade, besides the music, besides everything, oh God, I want to see You, oh God. The King David said this prayer, one thing have I asked that which I seek after. That is to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to behold the glory of God. So Lord Jesus, here we are. You are the reason why we do what we do. You are the reason why we gather here. You are the reason why, oh Lord God, we are here. So Spirit of the living God, speak for Your servant. Listening. If you can agree with me, you can pray in agreement with me, all God's people say, amen and amen, amen. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. Thank you, worship team. I just love just the last song. What a powerful name it is. Yeah? When we talk about Jesus, Jesus is the reason why we do what we do. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. So today we're going to talk about why Holy Communion. But before we do that, I'm going to invite all of us to stand. All of us to stand again. We're going to read God's Word together. The reason why I want to invite you to stand is because we're going to honor the Word of God. Amen. In our church, we are a God-loving, Christ-centered, Spirit-filled, Word-grounded, disciple-making church. So we're going to read out loud together this couple of verses about the Holy Communion. 1, 2, 3, let's go. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. It's a very powerful word here called recline. It means they were just relaxing. Here, as we come to the presence of God, I want you to recline with the Lord. Imagine the Lord is with you right now, reclining at the Lord's table. Reclining at the Lord's table. In verse 15, and He said to them, I have eagerly desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Eagerly desire. As we gather in His name, do you know Christ eagerly desires us? No matter how rotten you feel inside today, Jesus says in His word that He eagerly desires to spend time with you. He eagerly desires to have this Passover with you. And it is the God that we serve, a God of love. He eagerly desires. Verse 16, for I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, He gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And He took bread. He gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them saying, this is My body given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. Part of the Passover meal, Jesus then broke the bread. And then He said, this is My body given for you. My body given for you. Let's keep reading. I want you to start looking at this verse for you. Verse 20. In the same way, after the supper, He took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in My blood, which is poured out for you. May God bless the reading of His Word. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your precious Word. I ask, oh God, for Your anointing to come upon Your servant today, Lord God. So as I speak, as I proclaim Your Word, we pray, oh Lord God, that I may decrease, but Christ will increase. And I pray for every heart here, Lord God, that you receive, the Word of God, the prompt, just in time, relevant Word of God in their lives right here, right now, Lord. So Spirit of God, do Your mighty work that no man can do. In Christ's name we pray, and the people of God say, amen and amen. Please be seated in the presence of God. Be seated in the presence of God. During COVID-19, which is it's a bit of a blur right now, sometimes, I don't know if it's a year, 2 years, or 3 years. So during COVID-19, I remember one of the things that we asked ourselves during 2020, I think the first lockdown came in the first quarter of 2020, we start asking ourselves, what is church? Because during that time, lots of isolation rules start to take place. I think it was a 1.5 meters rule. Lots of rules start to take place. And as a church, we can't gather, we can't meet physically. So we start asking ourselves a question, what is church? What is church? I remember the time I was fasting and I was praying. I was freaking out because it was only a few months ago, on November of 17, 2019, the baton was then passed to me. You know, Pastor Ken had an amazing sense of timing. Amazing. And then so when the baton was passed down to me, I started praying. I was very excited. I was thinking, you know, we're going to do great things. And then the lockdown came. So I did one thing that I know. I just started praying. Praying and praying. So I started asking God, what should we do? What should we do? And I know that I'm not the only pastor praying. Many pastors start to pray. And we started asking the question, what is church then? If you can't gather face-to-face, then what is church? Then this verse came to my mind, Acts 2:42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Four things here. Four things here during the time the Lord revealed to us. The Lord said, all you have to do, Kenny, is to focus on these four things. The first thing, focus on the teaching of God's Word. Teach people the Word of God. Teach people the whole counsel of God. Not just part of God's Word, but the whole counsel of God. And that was the time the Lord then told me, you know, Kenny, teach them the entire Bible. Not just verses that people like to hear, but verses that people may not enjoy, but it's good for them. Now, how many of you know that your mom cooked for you? Not everything is delicious, but it's certainly good for you. And every mother say? Not loud enough. Every mother say? I can hear Joe wanted to say amen too, yeah? The entire counsel of God. First thing first, focus on the Word of God. The second thing the Lord then say, focus on fellowship. Everyone say fellowship. Fellowship, community. Hence, this season, I know, Nigel, I heard you preach a phenomenal sermon, yes, last week. You should do it more often. Praise God. Fellowship. Fellowship is about community in the Lord. Why this year we're going to focus on small group? Because we believe during COVID-19 time, we actually made a decision. It was an interesting decision because looking back, I was thinking that was actually one of the best things that we have done. Now, instead of having Sundays, I know a lot of churches do that, and God bless those churches because God revealed different strategy to different churches. So praise God. Now, for us, God revealed this strategy for us. During COVID-19 time, the Lord spoke to us saying, on Sunday when you meet as a small group. And that small group is church. So on Sunday, instead of having Zoom and everyone tune in, we are saying, you know what? On Sunday, what we're going to do is all small group, you gather at 10. That is your church. And we find that very effective. Do you know why? Because when everyone meet in Zoom, guess who is doing all the talking? Only one person can do the talking, right? But if you get it in a small group, 5 people, 10 people, 12 people, you can actually start having fellowship. And during that time, we have different people doing different things. And I realized during that time, a lot of gifts we start to discover. We discover some people actually have a gift of teaching. Because during small group time, what we ask people to do is, everyone, so we all take turn, right? Someone will do some simple sermon, preach and teach. Someone will lead communion. Every week we will do communion. Someone will lead worship, priesthood of all believers. Everyone has a part to play. Fellowship. What a beautiful thing. I remember I was in a Joshua and Raj group. What a beautiful thing. We all share. All the share. 2 fish, 5 loaves. Some of our fish are more anchovies, small fish. But guess what? It doesn't matter what you bring, the Lord multiplies. It was during that time, you believe it or not, I know many churches kind of struggle during that time, but it was during that time our church grew. Our church grew during that time. So fellowship. Third thing the Lord asks us to focus on is the breaking of bread. It's the communion. So hence, today I'm going to talk about the Holy Communion. Every single week, we partake communion together. We focus on Jesus, which I'll unpack more. And then we pray. We pray together. So 4 things we do that during COVID-19 time. Now this series, when we talk about why we do what we do, we're going to break down each category and start talking about why we focus on each of those. Do you know it's so important for us to understand why we do what we do? Because innate in our human nature, we always want to look for patterns and methods. There is a danger of legalism and religious spirit. The danger of legalism and religious spirit. You know, human heart always has this propensity to replace relationship with God with works and traditions. Now, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is where Paul starts to rebuke the church in Corinth. Because that time, they started doing what we call the communion as well. But Paul started rebuking them. Do you know why? Because what was started off as a good idea, a God idea, very fast, even in the early church, very fast, it morphed into works and traditions. Holy Communion is about Jesus. It's about celebrating Him. But by the time we even reach the early church, the first 100 years, it has morphed into competition. Even during those times. So Paul was rebuking them. During the time, the rich will eat first. During the time, the Lord's Supper, everyone brings supper, 2 fish, 5 loaves. You know what people do? They start judging. Poor people only bring some biscuits. You know, rich people bring lots of meat. So they say, the rich people will eat first. So it becomes like a class competition. And that Paul got really upset. That's the reason why we always need to understand the purpose of why we do what we do. Paul got upset and started rebuking the church when we understand the purpose behind why we do what we do. Very often, it also fuels our passion for Christ. Amen. It fuels our passion for Christ. Jesus was performing miracles on a Sabbath day. The religious leaders got really upset. Started asking Jesus, why would you do that? Didn't the Bible say on the Sabbath you should rest and not do work? Religious spirit. So today, as we expound on the Word of God, I pray in the name of Jesus, every religious spirit here, every legalism here will be gone in the name of Jesus. And we start to appreciate the true meaning and the true purpose of what Christ has done for us. Can I get an amen for that? Can I get an amen for that? Now, the first thing first, when we talk about Holy Communion, we talk about Holy Communion, right? It actually has got many names depending on what background you come from. Some people call it the Last Supper. Some call it the Lord's Supper. Some call it the Lord's Table, the Eucharist. So in the Catholic circle, very often we call it the Eucharist. Some call the agape meal. Some call it the love feast. Now, this is an interesting fun fact for some of you that are interested in early church history. Now, do you know that the early Christians, we are labeled or branded as cannibals? Weird, right? Do you know why? Because in John chapter 5, or John 6, Jesus says, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. Now, you need to understand from an outsider's point of view, they're thinking, what is Jesus saying? What are you talking about eating your flesh? What are you talking about drinking your blood? So during the early church, there was rumor that this bunch of Christians are a bit crazy. They'll gather together, they'll eat the flesh of Jesus and drink the blood. Plus, from the outsiders, as they hear what people are doing, this is what the accused Christians were doing. Anyway, it's just a bit of a fun fact. So why Holy Communion? Why Holy Communion? First thing first, it's the commandment of Jesus. Everyone say commandment. It is the commandment of Jesus. Jesus himself said, do it as often as you can. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And one of the questions that I got asked quite often, because people coming from different denominations, people ask me, Pastor Kenny, how can we conduct Holy Communion at home? Yeah. Do we need a priest to conduct communion? So my answer to the second question is, do we need a priest to conduct Holy Communion? What's the answer? Yes or no? No or yes? Anyone? It's a trick question, okay? It's a trick question. Now, if you have paid attention to what I said earlier, as a church, the Bible says that too. Priesthood of all believers. Who is priest in the house? Who is priest? Is it just Pastor Kenny? Or Pastor Randall? I mean, he's holy. He's holy, man. Okay, only Pastor Randall can sanction, can conduct. Who is priest in the house? If you are priest, lift up your hands. Who is priest in the house? Everyone is priest. So, yes, you need a priest to conduct Holy Communion. But guess who is priest? You are the priest. The priesthood of all believers. We sang the song, Jesus torn the veil. Right now, as priests, as children of the Most High God, we can enter into the Holy of Holies. Amen. We can come to the presence of God. It is a commandment of Jesus. We partake communion. So that's first thing first. God calls every one of us to partake communion. And how often should we do it? As often as you can. Later on, towards the end, I've got a very beautiful story and I'll share with you. A very powerful story of communion. You do it as often as you can. And I encourage the fathers in the house, the mothers in the house, and at times, even in your home, you can conduct communion. Remember what Christ has done. Remember who Christ is. You conduct the communion. Remember the Lord and you receive His grace. The second thing is to remember Jesus. Everyone say, remember Jesus. It's to remember Jesus. Here we read, and he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Every good theology begins with God. Every good theology begins with God. Here Jesus says, when you partake communion, which we're going to do it right at the end of the service, do this in remembrance of me. Remember me. Remember me. That's the power of remembrance. That's the power of memory. Why do you think people, when they get married, they take lots of photos? They spend a lot of money taking photos. Yeah, some in the thousands. Nowadays, wedding getting more fancy, you know. Now only not just still photos. Now we have, drone. We have drone flying. Drone photos as well. Getting very fancy. Why? To remember. When we remember who Christ is and what Christ has done, we are inviting the power of God in our lives. Why do you think Jesus himself always says, meditate upon the word of God day and night? Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Remember. Because when we remember, when we start meditating on who God is and what Christ is that and the word of God, something starts to change inside us. The inner transformation that starts to take place. Remember. So what do we remember then? This is an interesting story. Interesting question. So what do we remember? Couple of things. Remember who Christ is. There are seven I am statements of Jesus that we can start with. In the Gospel of John, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. John 6:35. Jesus is a spiritual food. The reason why we remain restless in life, the reason why sometimes we keep pursuing, we feel there's this restlessness in us. Why? Because you're spiritually hungry. For those that are physically hungry, you keep looking for food, right? But some of us, you are spiritually, you're in famish without knowing. You keep searching for the meaning and the purpose of life. You start trying to use different things to fill that gap. But you know what? Only Jesus, the bread of life, can fulfill that for you. Jesus also said, I am the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. He then says, I am the door. Everyone who comes through this door will be saved. We remember who Christ is. He says that I am the good shepherd. When we start partaking the holy communion of Jesus, we start remembering who Christ is. He is the good shepherd. Today, are you lost? Come back to the good shepherd when you partake the communion. He's not the bad shepherd. He's not the evil shepherd. He's not the lost shepherd, but he's the good shepherd. A good shepherd that looks after the flock. And I told this story before. Tim was very young. I think he was 3 or 4 during the time. We were at Knox Shopping Center. He was at a playground. Yeah. So he was playing. And then while he was playing, I looked at my phone for like 5 seconds. At least I thought it was 5 seconds. After I looked at my phone, and then I looked up, Tim is gone. Parents, do not repeat my mistake. Okay? Do not. I wasn't a good shepherd then. I looked up and Tim was gone. I was so shocked. And that time the playground is not enclosed. So I was thinking, where could he be? It was a shopping center. It was a big shopping center. He was nowhere to be found. So I panicked. So I thought, and my wife was doing grocery shopping. I called her. So that's how, actually Isabel wasn't born then. So he was actually quite young, maybe 2, 3. So I rang my wife. I said, dear, I lost Tim. All the husbands, you know how I feel at the time, right? And I can't remember what my wife said. All I hear is that I think my ear was painful. She's like, what happened? So then there was a... So what I did was that I called the center. I can't remember. I think I talked to the security. The security guard saying that you have to wait here. You have to wait here while we go look for him. At the time, I was praying. I said, God, I'm like, you know, understand? I came from Malaysia. So we have this phobia in Malaysia. If we lose a child in Malaysia, so I mean, there's a rumor in Malaysia, right? That your children will lose their limbs. Someone will gouge your eyes and will sell them to the streets of nowhere and to start begging for money. So those kind of images kind of haunt me. Parents, it's very important what you tell your children because this kind of, it will haunt them for the rest of. So anyway, so I was freaking out, right? So I was praying. I was thinking, God, please help me. And then, so instead of listening to a security guard to wait here, I was thinking, I should go look for my son. So I started praying. I said, God, I know this is a big mistake, a big boo-boo, right? I'm going to look for my son. So I started praying. I said, God, please help me. And then this image came to me. Believe it or not, this image came to me. Toys R Us. If anywhere my son would go, maybe Toys R Us. But between the playground and Toys R Us, it's actually quite a distance. And he was really young. I was thinking he couldn't be at Toys R Us. But anyway, I took a step of faith. I'm like, so I told the security guard, maybe you wait, I'll go look for him. You know, or you call your guys. I don't know. I've got to look for my son, man. My wife is freaking out. I'm panicking, and I'll go to Toys R Us. So I went to Toys R Us, and then I remember this vividly, even which aisle I should go. I went to that aisle, and I saw little Tim playing there. When I saw him, I just hugged him, and I was saying, "Never do that again, son." I'm not sure whether he remembers. I don't think he remembers that. A good shepherd will look for his flock. The reason why you and here are gathered here is not because Christ has lost us. It's because we are lost. But with the same passion, I beg your pardon, in a much more passionate manner, and the price that Christ has paid in order for us to be found by Him, Christ has paid that price. Remember, He is the Good Shepherd. And Jesus is the resurrection and the life. No one can come to the Father except through Christ. Jesus then says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that I am the vine, you are the branches. Jesus is a lamb who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. So whenever we come to the Lord's table, we always cast our eyes on Calvary. We look at Jesus and we ask the question, who is Christ? The question the Lord has for you today is, who is Christ to you? Who is Christ to you? You know that in every stage of life, in every different season of your life, Jesus has the ability to meet you where you are at. Perhaps today, in the place whereby you say, Lord, I need healing in my heart. As you come to the communion table, remember that Jesus is the healer. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God is my healer. If today you feel that I'm in need, I'm in lack, you come to the Lord's table, remember that Jesus is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord God, my provider. If today you're confused, you come to the Lord's table because Jesus is the truth. He's the way. He can guide your life. Jesus is truly all that we ever need. Amen. And remember who Christ is. Why we do what we do is to then receive the benefits of Christ. Everyone say benefits. It's to receive the benefits of Christ. In the same way, after the supper, he then took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Which is poured out for you. Jesus says that this is the new covenant. And this blood that I shed for you is for your benefits. The question that we should ask then, what is the new covenant? What is the new covenant? What is the old covenant? The word covenant and the word testament, they are almost interchangeable. They're synonym. So if you talk about Old Testament, you can say Old Covenant. New Testament, you can say New Covenant. This topic itself, we can have one semester of lectures on it. But today, I just want to simplify for you the Old Covenant versus the New Covenant. What is the Old Covenant? We're going to look at different category. First, we look at the forgiveness of sin. In the Old Covenant, you will need to sacrifice animals. If today we are still in the Old Covenant, if you are still in Old Testament, our Sunday affair is going to be quite bloody and gory. All right, it won't be me just speaking here. It'll be you bring your lamb, your sheep, and then the pastors or the priests will be doing a lot of slaughtering. It's not a very nice job, yeah? It's pretty bloody, actually. Animal sacrifice. In fact, that's why, again, we need to know why we do what we do. Do you know why Jesus got so upset and so angry when he entered into the temple of Jerusalem? When people were doing animal sacrifice, do you know why he was so upset? It's not because Jesus is about to usher in the New Testament or the New Covenant, no. It's because they have totally lost the plot. Instead of sacrificing animal for the forgiveness of sin, the priests during that time, they were extorting the people. Instead of selling at like $30 like per sacrifice, they're selling like $3,000. They were extorting the people. Men and women of God, we're going to be very careful. If you exploit the gospel for your own benefits, the judgment and the wrath of God is upon you. That's the reason why Jesus got so mad. He got so upset. He went to the temple. In fact, that was probably the first time around we see Jesus so passionate and so angry, isn't it? He would turn the table. He said, "You have made my father's house to be like a den of robbers." It's so important we know why we do what we do. But in a new covenant, Christ died once and for all. That's it. One sacrifice. Old covenant, perpetual animal sacrifice. New Testament, once and for all. One sacrifice. Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Law versus grace. Law versus grace. Law is, what can I do to attain righteousness? What can man do? What can I do to attain the righteousness of God? What can I do to live a holy life? What is grace? Grace is, what has Christ done for you? Law says, I am righteous because I fulfilled the law of God. Grace says, I am already righteous because of what Christ has done on the cross. Therefore, I live a righteous life. Do you see the difference there? I'm going to repeat one more time. Law says, I am righteous because I live a righteous life. It's depending on my work, on my deeds. But the grace of God says, you are already righteous. Why? Because of what Christ has done for you on the cross. Your sins are fully paid for. And the righteousness of Christ, pardon this, is imputed then in me. Basically saying, whatever Christ has done in his life, he has led a righteous life, a sinless life. Everything that Christ has done for you is then credited to your account. That is the gospel of Jesus. That is the grace of God. Amen. Why do we live a righteous life? Because we are already righteous in Christ. The Bible says then, put on the righteousness of Christ. We want to please God. Why? Because Christ has led a life that pleased Him. And the Bible then says, for us that is in a New Testament, that the Spirit of God now lives in you, and that the law of God is then engraved upon your heart. We are not saved by doing good deeds. We are saved to do good deeds. That is the grace of God. Hence, Paul says, no man can say, should I then sin more so that grace may abound? No. Now that you have experienced the grace of God, now that you know what it's like, the price that Christ has paid, why would you want to live a sinful life? In fact, it is in you. As a child of God, it's in your desire right now to live a life that is pleasing unto the Lord. Can I get an amen for that? You want to please God. You want to live a life that please, that bring pleasure to the Father. Very often, you know, in the team, when we have devotion, when I share with them, and one of the things I love to share with them is that when we serve the Lord, serve with a big smile on your face. If you serve with a begrudging heart, I'd rather you not serve. Because you're reflecting like, you're not a good reflection of the Father. We serve with a heart of joy. Amen. Why? Because He is worthy. And this is a beautiful thing. And children knows that. Children knows that innate, they know that. Do you know that children want to please parents? The other day, I have a beautiful family came to my house for dinner. Good parents, they will instruct the child. And when the child don't listen, they'll keep instructing until the child responds. Why do you think the child will respond? Because they respond, the child wants to please the parents. Likewise, our relationship with our Father is the same. We want to please our Father. And when we obey God, when we obey the word of Jesus, when we do His work, we then bring the pleasure of the Father upon us. And that, my friend, is a beautiful thing. So we don't obey God like through our own strength, you know. So difficult. But when we come, we say, Christ has come to fulfill the law. Christ did not come to abolish the law. He has come to fulfill the law. Every righteous requirement, every holy requirement, everything that is required of God, Christ has done it. And for those that are in Christ, we then say, I want to live the life that Christ has led. It's in that place we obey God, we love God. Do you receive it? Do you receive it? And that is how we want to live a life that pleases God. And now, another aspect when we talk about Old Testament and New Testament is the presence of God. It's the presence of God. In the Old Testament, the presence of God, and anointing and the empowerment of God is only on certain individuals. That's why David himself, in his psalm, he prayed, God, do not take Your Holy Spirit away from me. In the New Testament, everyone. Everyone is filled with the Spirit of the living God. Everyone. That's why priesthood of all believers. Everyone can conduct communion. As long as you understand the purpose behind it. The presence of God. What a precious thing. The only thing that separates us from people who do not know the Lord is the presence of God. During the COVID-19 time, one of the catchphrases we have for our church, which is until today, is called Stay Close to the Ark. Some of you who are new, initially you think, what ark? You know, something Noah's ark. Stay close to Noah's ark. It makes zero sense, you know. We're talking about the Ark of the Covenant. We're talking about the presence of God. We say we stay close to the presence of God. The truth is, the presence of God is already in us. Whenever you go to work, you know, you bring the presence of God with you. Whenever you go to school, you bring the presence of God with you. Now, whether the presence of God is manifested through your life, that is a separate thing. Because some of us, we are secret agent Christian. Yeah? You know why secret agent Christian? Nobody knows we are Christian, except you and God. On Sunday, we are holy angels. On Monday, we go to work, we're like devil incarnate, you know. Nobody knows. But the presence of God. We look through the Old Testament and New Testament, there is difference, but there is what I call a continuity. Old Testament is a foreshadow of what is to come. Another way to describe is that Old Testament, if you like, is like an engagement in a marriage. Now, all of us who are married, you understand that engagement is very different from marriage or wedding. In an engagement, there's no consummation. That's why I don't consume a marriage too fast. Eh? In engagement, there's no consummation. And engagement is not it's not married yet. So Old Testament is like engagement. It's a foreshadow of what is to come. And then what is the continuity? That means what is the thread that is going through? We talk about the thread of forgiveness of sin. The understanding of sin. The continuity there is that God still takes sin very seriously. So serious that he sent his one and only son to pay for the price. There is a continuation of obedience of God's law and God's word too. That is not to say we are no longer have to abide by God's word. No. Jesus has come to fulfill God's word. Amen. But the continuation is that those who live in Christ will also want to live in accordance to God's word, to obey his word. Amen. Because one day, we appear before the Lord. Not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord shall be saved. But those who do the will of my Father, who does the will of the Father? Those who are in Christ, who does the will of the Father. We see another continuation here in terms of the presence of God. The presence of God was with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. The presence of God was with David, with the major prophets. And then when it comes to the New Testament, we just celebrated Christmas. It then says, Emmanuel, God with you. Jesus says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And that is the presence of God. That is the presence of God. That the Holy Spirit dwells in you. The question then is this. It's a very important question. Yeah, very, very important question. How then do we receive the benefits of Christ? All that we have just talked about. How do we receive the salvation? How then do we receive the healing? How then do we receive all these things that Christ has given to us? How then receive the benefits of communion? I want to share this story with you. So this is my story. If I can get the worship team to come out as well. I'll share a story with you about Isabel. It says that he was pierced for our transgressions. So that's the benefits for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was a chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. How then do we access to what Christ has promised for us? Now, for those of you that have journeyed with me for the last couple of years, you probably heard this story. I think it was the year 2020. It was probably the year 2019 or year 2020. Isabel was, she had fever. In fact, it was 2019 because she came back from Japan. End of 2019. That is also the year she got baptized, you know, in December. We came back from Japan and then Isabel fell sick. She got fever. And the fever lasted for months. Now, normally, fevers should break within a couple of days, yeah? But lasted for months. I was so worried. I went to every single hospital. I think we went to Monash, I went to RCH, we went to Box Hill. They've done so many tests on her. So many tests on her. But we couldn't find out the reason. Every test that can be done is done. I still remember I was very worried as a parent. On top of that, I still have the burden of the church, leading the church. I remember I was praying, I was crying out to Lord. I said, Lord, heal my daughter. Now, as you all know, Isabel, she's super active, very active. But because of that fever, she just has no strength. She didn't eat. She was so skinny. I mean, she's really skinny. I mean, she's even skinnier. I remember I was at Box Hill Hospital. And then I got a call from our beloved brother, Papa John, who now is with the Lord. Papa John rang me. He said, Pastor Kenny, I've been praying for you and your daughter. And then he said, I sense the Lord asking you to partake communion with your daughter. I'm like, okay, I will do that. And then by faith, I remember in the hospital, by faith, It was me, Sinkyu, and my daughter. She has no strength because it's months. I say, by faith, we're going to take this communion. Why? Because we remember who Christ is. He's our healer. By His wounds, we are healed. By His wounds, we are healed. He was pierced for our transgression. Let's partake communion. So we did it as a family. We did it once. The second day came. We did it again. It's within that week, the fever starts to break. You can say it's coincidence. You can say it's superstitious. You can say whatever you want to say, but I give glory to Jesus. How do you access the benefits of Christ and communion? By faith. This is how you receive salvation. That is why it's so important for us to have faith. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So right now, this is what we're going to do. We're going to partake communion together. Has everyone got a communion? If not, you can please raise up your hand. We'll give it to you. I want to make sure everyone has communion first. Okay, my brother here do not have one. Yeah. Right at the back, Mama Jenny and Shirley. Everyone. Okay. And this is what we're going to do. Okay, we have a few over there, yes. No rush, don't hurry. I'll wait for you. Because it's too good an opportunity for us to miss the blessing of God. You see, this is the thing. If we just do it religiously, without faith, without understanding the meaning, it will mean nothing to you. That's why for kids, unless you understand this, you don't partake this. Why? Because you just think it's biscuit and Ribena juice. Don't do that. Yeah. The Bible says if we do it in a very reckless manner, on a cavalier manner, we bring judgment upon ourselves. So don't do that. If you do not understand the meaning of communion, don't do it. And now that we appreciate, we understand that this is a broken body of Christ and this is the blood that Christ has poured for us, I want you to close your eyes and bow your heads. And now is the time for you to exercise your faith and ask this question. Who is Christ to you today? And He's here to meet you. Your righteousness, your salvation, He's your deliverer. The worship team is going to sing a song to minister to us. And during this time, remain in a spirit of worship. Close your eyes and just worship God. Access the Lord by your faith.